Hey, Slip Angle listeners. It's Abe here. Today's show is a three-part episode with drivers from the GridLife Track Battle Series. We had our event at Autobahn Country Club this weekend, and I was able to connect with a few of them remotely while they competed in the weekend or were making the drive back home to wherever they're from. So I hope you enjoy it. This is a show with Brandon Ranvek, Alex Moss, who's been on the show before, and Sean Krebsback. And all three of them had a pretty stellar performance weekend. So I hope you enjoy it. Hey, Slip Angle. I'm here with Brandon Ranvek of Team Twitch, who is driving the S54 swapped E36 M3 in street class in GridLife Chicago event. How are things?
Oh, things are fantastic. Oh, I'm just having a blast running the S54 and the E36 chassis. She's named Twitch, and it is just a riot.
How much better do you think that is than the S54 and the E46? I mean, you get a lightness benefit, but what else do you get?
It's a little bit of a smaller car, which I've always kind of preferred. The E46 isn't big, but I kind of like the smaller boxy chassis. You know, I came from an Evo, which is a small boxy chassis, the Evo 9 platform, and kind of like how the Evo 10 feels a little bit big in comparison. To me, the E46 feels big in comparison to the E36. So I just like it. It feels more nimble to me. I can feel the road, feel the inputs. It's just more raw.
Now at Gingerman, you were not slow, but just a little bit off leadership pace. But here it seems like at Autobahn, things are going much better.
I think the car, really likes this track. It's a sort of a momentum track. I don't know that there are a few big power sections, but if you can carry momentum on this track, it's really rewarding.
Well, and you've driven here and held records here before, so I think it's probably a good fit to, in this case, just changing chassis and kind of getting right back to it.
Sorry, one second. There's an announcement. I'm standing next to the PA. It's probably a bad decision.
Tell Adam to shut his pie hole.
Okay, yeah, right. There we go. Okay, he's done talking now.
So, as I said, you've held records here in the past.
Jesus. Okay. As you were saying.
Yeah, I said you held records here in the past in the Evo, and so it's probably just, you know, it's like hand to glove, right? It probably feels familiar, and you just jump right into the new car, and things just feel right?
Well, not exactly, because I've had some bad luck here, too. I've broken some stuff. I broke a crank in the Evo. I broke a transmission, a dog box. So it's been an expensive trip, usually, when I'm here at Autobahn. I have set records, but at big cost. So coming in a car that is a little bit less maintenance, not as high strung, and being able to set a pace like this feels really good. It's nice. This experience is probably more rewarding than I've ever had in the Evo. And not to say or take anything away from what we've done in the Evo. I'm really proud of what that car is. Twitch is capable of doing here. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's been awesome to watch. You've kind of been sidelined for a little while, and I think in part is just because the Evo is so built up and it's expensive to bring out, right? Like,
that's just it. It's so expensive. If you wanna compete with an Evo, you've got to be ready to be paying out big dollars on parts that could potentially fail, because in order to set those times, you have to re-engineer the entire car, and you know we're not all factory engineers. We're trying to do what we can to make things work. And, you know, you try, you fail, you fix what's broken, and you get back out there. But that gets pretty expensive after a while. So yeah, kind of taking a step back a little bit, getting back to some roots of turning laps and feeling the car and feeling the track and going faster as a driver. I miss doing that a lot, and this car is allowing me to get back to refining the craft and really enjoying the drive.
Well, I think it's not all that different from Andy's approach with Trainer, right? Like, it's a very simple setup, and the whole point of the car is to be able to just go out and do as many laps as you can without focusing on anything else other than getting better.
100%. Yeah, having a car that has a really good setup and just driving, and not overly set up, not overly engineered, just keeping it simple and turning laps. So that's exactly what Trainer is. That's why it's named Trainer. It's the same type of approach, and I'm enjoying it. I would call Twitch. Twitch is another Trainer. It's kind of been called or dubbed, honored one of the new Trainers in the group.
Well, it's what's funny is that right now its pace is pretty similar to Trainer, but I think Trainer's on slicks, so that might be the S54 is a little bit faster.
Yeah, in all honesty, you know, the AO52s, I don't know that they're that far off of Hoosier's. I don't know if he's on A7s or.
I think it's R7.
I think they're or R7s. Yeah, I don't know that the pace is. It's too far off. The AOs are a crazy tire.
Well, I don't know that you might know that at Circuit of the Americas, when James Houghton brought the TSX, he was running on the AO52s and not a racing slick, and ran really well.
That's impressive. Yeah, the street tire game has changed quite a bit. I will say that they are an amazing tire, the AOs, but, you know, I'm on my second Grid Life event, and they're looking like they might be cashed after this weekend.
Oh,
so,
man. And I know that those tires in particular are not cheap. I always thought that RE71s were expensive, but I think the Yokos are more expensive, right?
Yeah, they are pretty spendy. So, but you get rewarded for putting that dollar in. I know that Austin's on some Nexens, which in the specific size, it's a good tire. But if you throw AOs on his car, he's probably faster, I would guess.
It's been fun to watch you guys kind of trade spots back and forth all weekend. It's a good battle, and I guess one that I probably expected, but I didn't expect it to be this close.
Oh man, to see the street tire class, street class getting into 32s now at Autobahn South. Yeah, that's pretty wild.
What do you say about Ferris breaking into the 26s in the track mod group?
That car is a monster. He and I were talking yesterday. He's had some front end grip issues where he just cannot get the front to bite. And so he's relying on a lot of power to gain some of that time. So once he gets that grip to the front end, you're just going to see that car continue to get faster and faster and faster. So there's still so much more potential in that car.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, right? Because I remember from a couple of years ago seeing Andy in the A chassis, you know, go only a few seconds faster than that. It's kind of amazing what the track mod group has been able to do this year. And I think Ferris is kind of leading that charge with, you know, MS7 really not that far behind at all. What's the status with MS7?
MS7, maybe in the lack of proper judgment, but, you know, trying to have a lot of fun, MS7 went out for a drift session yesterday and broke a rear diff. And
classic.
So yeah, it's a little injured right now. And, yeah, they took it out of the competition. But, hey, that drift through 1, 2, 3, 4, that connection, that was pretty fantastic. Standing on the sidelines watching everybody go, what? The time attack car? No, you're not up yet. Wait. And Andy's in the car like, no, I'm going to drift. And he takes off and he just lays into the first quarter and whips it around. And everyone's like, oh, my God.
I wish I would have been there to see it. That sounds awesome.
It was pretty rad. People were like, you guys are ridiculous.
Did you guys not bring a spare diff for it?
I don't think there is a spare diff for it.
Oh, that's sad.
So,
well, Well, in any case, I mean, he's gonna walk away with second place in track mod for sure. So it's not as if he's too far along or too far behind in the points. Ferris is still playing catch up because he's done fewer events. So I don't know, what other events do you have planned for 2020?
It's kind of a event by event basis right now. Busy family life and trying to get the business back going with some of this COVID stuff is a little bit of a challenge. So I'll take the ones that I can make, and I'll be here having fun when I can, partying with everybody.
Yeah, man. Well, I really appreciate your time on the phone, and you've still got two sessions left. So right now you're in the lead, but I really don't know if Austin's got anything left, but I wouldn't count him out. So you better go out and prepare for the next session.
I mean, that 32 that I ran felt really nice. I don't know how much more I have in it, especially with it's getting hotter out here. I think the track's going to continue to be a challenge the rest of the day.
Well, I wish you the best, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy one of those fancy Grid Life trophies. So those are handmade with love by me. So
I appreciate it so much. Thanks, Abe.
Yeah, see you, man.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Welcome back, Slip Angle. I am here with Alex Moss, driver of Super K, and also Baby Sloan. She's going to be a guest on the podcast as well. So, Alex, you just finished the weekend at Audubon Country Club. How did things go?
Yeah, it was an intense weekend, as it always seems to be for Street Mod this year. We ended up second place behind Sean Krebsbeck and ahead of Jackie. We lost by 0.078, I think.
It's a pretty small margin. So
less than a tenth, but that is, you know, we're three events in now, and as I think I said to you on Facebook, that's the most dominant victory we've had in Street Mod in 2020. So hats off to Sean for what he is able to do and to really dominate the class this week.
I looked, and I am pretty sure that was a 3-second improvement over last year.
Yes, pretty close. Yeah, I think it was a 30.8 was the record from last year.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I actually said in Grid Life posted a picture of us with that record, and I predicted that record would not make the podium. And that was true. It would have taken that record minus 2.7 seconds to make the podium. So third place was 2.7 seconds faster than the Street Mod record from last year, which is insane.
Well, it's kind of unbelievable, because I know that, you know, Sean has worked on his car a decent amount compared to last year, but I knew that he added horsepower, but I guess it's hard for me to believe that, you know, 3 seconds was horsepower alone. I just, on that track, it seems like, you know, there's more driver mod, and there's other bits as well. What do you, in your case, what do you think is making you so much faster?
Well, our car is, we didn't actually compete last year at Autobahn, but our car is vastly different from last year. It's a complete rebuild. You know, so that's why we're so much faster than we were at like at West Festival and things like that from last year. Reason I think Sean's faster, he's a phenomenal driver. He's getting better as a driver. He added some power. He took out some weight. I'm sure he did some other things. Sean is a guy that's kind of quiet in the background, just kind of watching what everyone else is doing. And as they often say, you always have to be careful of the quiet ones, and Sean is definitely one of the quiet ones. But the other thing I think it is the level of competition pushes everybody to go faster. And I think I said this after we went to Gingerman late last year, that if Dewey hadn't have been there, we would have finished in a higher position, but we would have gone slower.
No doubt.
I think that's definitely true. Each driver, you know, and Sean, Jackie, me, Dewey, Ron, are all going going faster and faster, and that's pushing each other to go faster and faster and to achieve things that, you know, we didn't 100% consider likely or even possible a year ago.
Right. Well, something that I think is unique about Sean's car is if you put his right next to yours, his is, the car is also very unassuming with the exception of the new livery, right? It looks very basic, but mechanically it's pretty sophisticated.
Sean's car looks way less modified than mine does. And when you come down to it, he's got a, just comparing wings side by side, his wing is way smaller than mine is. Comparing splitters and all that kind of stuff, he's got actually a new homemade carbon fiber splitter. He's getting, we call it the Krebs Back Ups and Crafts project, when he posts about the carbon fiber work.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it doesn't look that far modified from a stock Evo, but it's a rocket. And Sean is a phenomenal driver. We would, a couple of years ago, we went to DCTC, and Andy took his Evo out there, his what we call A chassis, the Time Attack Evo that had in it a dog box at the time, and I don't know, it's probably 600 wheel horsepower or something like that. Pretty crazy fast Evo. And we were running Northcross there into the night. And Andy and Brandon were kind of trading in that same car, taking turns in the car and trading lap times back and forth. Who was going to win and who was going to beat the other one in Andy's Evo. And they gave the car to Sean to drive, and he took two or three runs in it and beat both Andy and Brandon in that car. So,
no kidding.
You know,
I didn't know that story.
Yeah, Sean is an incredible driver, and he's a quiet one. So yeah, watch out for Sean.
I think we will. So, I did, the official results post and got the points updated already. And you're at, 299, which, you've done three events. So you're only like, you only lost this weekend by less than a tenth. So you got 99 while Sean got, 100. But yep. Sean has now 200, but he's only done two events. And so, you know, I fully expect the remainder of the year to be kind of a battle of inches, right? Where you're going to need to score some more hundreds in order to beat him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so we're three events in now. It's a 2020. So the fall festival or fall special, whatever it's called. That was event one of 2020. Then we went to Gingerman. That was event two. This was event three. This is the first event where there hasn't been a tie at 100 points.
That's true,
and it's,
yeah.
100 to 99.
Isn't that unbelievable?
And it should be 100 to 100.
Oh, yeah? Should it be? Should it? So tell me about the schedule you have planned for the rest of the year. What events are you wanting to attend?
So we have tickets to every Grid Life event. And so the car, we rebuilt the car over the winter. The car now has done 8 hot laps since that. So tomorrow it essentially goes down for another rebuild.
And rebuild in this case is what?
Rebuild in this case is we're replacing all the suspension components. It's getting new hubs. It's getting all new suspension arms, new spindles, all that kind of stuff through a WiseFab suspension kit. It is also getting the driveline fixed, as everybody probably knows. Or maybe that's a little self-fulfilling, and everybody knows this, but as probably some people know, we keep blowing up diffs. This weekend, we blew up fifth gear on the transmission. Second hot lap of that last session, I lost fifth gear. So we are replacing the transmission and the differential to beef those things up.
What did the lap indicator predictor say when the transmission gave out?
I don't know, but it felt really, really good. I think I'm pretty certain I was up. But we'll see. I haven't pulled the data yet. I haven't looked at the data, but we'll see. It felt really good. It felt like the winner.
Yeah, the ones that get away. It's interesting. Right. In Sean's case, I don't think he did that many hot laps all weekend. I know that he was working through a few mechanicals and things, and yesterday he said he just didn't feel like the car was driving right, but everything kind of came together today, and the weather held off enough to give everybody clean laps on Sunday, which was a surprise.
Yeah, we were expecting rain at least one full day. We didn't have, you know, actually the fifth session, I thought I saw some water on my windshield, but other than that, we didn't have a damn track all weekend, which was amazing, given the forecast. So, yeah, I mean, Sean was battling his own mechanical gremlins. At Gingerman, we were the beneficiary of Jackie having his mechanical issues. This weekend, we had some mechanical issues, so, you know, that's just part of the game, and that lap is a lap that got away. It might have been a win lap, but you can't fall back on the what-ifs. It's just part of the game that these cars are going to fail at some point, and we have to deal with them.
So,
deal with it when they do.
We have about a month now until the fourth round, which is our midsummer meet at Mid-Ohio. And you said the car is going down for a rebuild. Are you inclined to say what you're planning to do?
I think the cat's pretty much out of the bag now. But we are doing a new differential. We're going to put, we think, a 350Z differential in it, which should hold the power and be a lot stronger. And then we're also putting a new transmission in it. One of the things that we have noticed, as we're kind of looking at the competition, is shift times. And we're shifting so much right now. At Gingerman, we're shifting
3, 4, 5, 6
times,
right? Huh? You're typically going 3, 4, 5, 6?
Yes. 16 shifts a lap at Gingerman is what we're doing. And that time adds up, so...
How much time is it?
Don't know for sure. I always think shift times are a little bit, a little bit hocus-pocus on how much time you spend shifting and what that time actually costs you. So I think it could be anywhere from a second and a half to maybe 2.5, 3 seconds. We'll find out because our plan, or hopefully we'll find out, because our plan is we're going to be putting a BMW 7-speed dual clutch transmission in the car.
Which I've known about for a while, but wasn't allowed to tell anybody. And I'm very excited to hear it, to hear more about it. But has this been done before? Are you following a formula, or is there going to be some new engineering here?
This a little bit. So this is kind of like the case what was. It's not true cutting edge. It has been done before, and it has been done in Time Attack cars, and there's actually other Grid Life competitors we know that are planning or actively working on doing the swap too. There's a lot of unknowns to figure out, and whether we get it done by Mid-Ohio is kind of a questionable goal. That is our goal, to be at Mid-Ohio with the car with the DCT.
We've got a whole month. I know that Andy doesn't work slow.
He doesn't work slow, but this is significant. We are committed to getting the car to Alpine Horizon though in August.
Yeah, so Sean was really fast there last year. I would expect that a DCT mod in your car would be a leg up you might need on that track in order to get really close, if not, you know, beat him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, one of the things that we've known, you've known about this, and we've been talking about this for probably 8 months now, that this was kind of in the works and in the plans. So coming into this year, our expectations, or my expectations of the car, were if we are there or thereabouts, and by thereabouts I mean within, you know, a second or two of the leaders, by the time we get these upgrades in, I felt that we were going to be pretty competitive then. So the fact that we're competitive on this H-pattern trans is very... it's a little bit surprising, but it's also it bodes well for us, I think.
Yeah,
we'll
absolutely. So have you driven at Mid-Ohio before?
I've never been to Mid-Ohio, no. I've driven on iRacing. I like it. It's a fun track.
It's a really cool place. I sincerely hope you get the car done before then.
Yeah, it was kind of the question of whether we take the car down now and try and make Mid-Ohio, or if we wait and take the car to Honda Meet and then, you know, kind of show it off there a little bit and have some fun at Honda Meet and then take it down. But then definitely Mid-Ohio's out of the question. But I think we've decided that with how close the competition is and the fact that we're probably going to have several people at 300 points for sure after three events, we should try and aim to be as competitive as possible at the competitive events.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I fully expect the season to come down to being decided at Gingerman at the end, right? Because at least in street mod, with the competition as tough as it has been, I would expect the winner to have 400 points in a best of the season four rounds.
I think that's kind of inevitable. I mean, we've been looking at it after we tied with Dewey. We got second, but we tied on points. We got 100 points at Gingerman in the fall. We got 100 points at Gingerman in the spring. 400 points, basically, with the way the points works, 400 points guarantees us the championship, but it may be a shared championship.
Yeah,
especially
which
of the three events.
Unbelievable.
Right. Two of the three events so far, we've been sharing 100 points.
Well, when we put this scoring system together, it was meant to reflect... The points were ultimately meant to reflect how close the competition actually was. And the fact that we have as many drivers as we do at, you know, 99 or 100 points per event is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. I don't think that when we looked at the point system, when it first got announced, it was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That makes sense. You know, it's not. If you win by a little tiny bit, you get a little tiny bit of a points advantage. If you win by a lot, you get a big points advantage. I don't think anybody expected the fact that the total margin of victory after three events in street mod is something like a tenth and a half now.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's nutty. And on top of that, new driver Ryan Matthews, who I've not met personally, is not far off.
No, I met Ryan today. Actually, he came by the trailer and at the last two events. So he was, I don't know if he was in the fall, but he was a Gingerman in June, and he was this weekend, obviously, and he's. Surprised me both times that right out of the gate he's fast and in fact he's like top three right out of the gate. I think if he can figure out how to improve as the rest of the field improves as the weekend goes on, he's going to be right up there too.
That's insane. All right, well, I wish you the very best taking the car apart and trying to get things back together for Mid-Ohio. I hope to see you there. If things go well, that may be the first event that I'm in person, which will be exciting. But I will say that having worked remotely for the last two events, I get a remarkable amount of stuff done when I'm not driving to and from the event. Like, I did the official results post and the write-ups and all that stuff. It's all done. Like,
yeah.
And it's the same day, which is faster than it's ever been.
Yeah, no, I get that. We're on the drive home now, and we've been able to get stuff done is probably pretty nice. But I'm actually amazed at how much you are talking to me throughout the event, how much you're putting up with my questions and my comments, and you know, I'm pretty opinionated and letting you know what I feel. And appreciate that you always respond to me and probably 50 other people that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm sitting at my desk all weekend working on stuff, but now I'm just happen to be holding a baby at the same time. But it's actually kind of great to have your computer at your fingertips to look up things and to make sure yep. that if you're making a ruling, you don't back yourself into a corner and things like that. There was some discussion about, you know, components underneath the vehicle and what constitutes a diffuser and then, you know, what constitutes an aero device. And I had to work through that today where it was like, okay, well, it says this and that implies this and this implies that. So what do we think this part is? In this case, it was just a, you know, it was a 2x3 piece of sheet metal. It's like, well, what do you call that? And so I, those instances, being able to focus and read and make sure that your interpretation is consistent with the rules is, it's nice to be at home to do that.
Yeah. As an old boss of mine used to say, everybody has an angle, even me. So take everybody's opinion and everybody's comments with a grain of salt, because it's always to further their own agenda. And there are some interesting, and we've been through this weekend, right? But there's some interesting components that interact there. You know, us as competitors, furthering our agenda to get the advantages that we can get. There's also us as competitors as trying to ensure that other people do not get unfair advantages over us, and there's you guys as the ruling body trying to decide and referee all that. So well, it's not easy.
I won't talk about it too much on the podcast, but I will let you know, you might be surprised, that Adam and I got an email from the manager of Nankang Motorsport today.
Yeah.
Discussing a tire that exists that is in limited supply, but is for sale. And yes. It's expected that more will be available in July.
Wonderful.
And they got a whole bunch of tire sizes, actually.
That's awesome. That's good news.
Do you run an 18?
I do need an 18. I have to have an 18.
And do you run a 285-30?
I would love a 285-30.
Well, they're going to have those.
That sounds perfect. But where I was going with that comment is us as competitors can't be upset about other competitors trying to get an advantage, because that's what we're all trying to do. All we can do is make our case, and when the ruling comes down, we have to accept that ruling. We can further plead our case if we want, which I certainly did this weekend.
I can tell you that someone successfully argued their way out of a protest yesterday in impressive fashion, actually. I was like, oh, well, yeah, you're right. You still need to fix it, but we can't disqualify you for this event. So it was clever. And I, you know, we tipped our hats to him because it was a good argument.
That's what we're all trying to do, and I've had my part of that, and so yeah, I mean, it's at the end of the day, we're all in this for fun, and we need to keep it fun.
Yeah. So, well, enjoy the rest of your trip. By now, you're probably almost home. It's not even that far from Joliet.
I'm going through Chicago, so in Pete, as everybody knows, Pete, right? In typical Pete fashion. He rented this big swamp cooler for us to keep us cool.
Yeah, I saw that. Is that what that was?
Yeah. So it was this big thing that we filled with water, and it evaporated all the water and blew cold air at us. And it actually worked really, really well. So hats off to Pete for thinking of that. But we got to go return that. And then I think we're going to get dinner. So we're around the O'Hare area right now.
We'll get some margaritas.
That's the plan.
All right. Talk to you soon.
That sounds good. Thanks.
Bye. Hey, Sean, it's Abram.
Abe, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good. Kind of exhausted.
I believe it. You've been fighting a car all weekend.
Yeah.
So you put the car together in the last week. I think you got it tuned at Ronnie's a few days ago, and you went to the track. How did things go yesterday?
Things yesterday were a little slow. It just took me a little while to get my legs under me. The car felt fine. We had it set on low boost and was just kind of seeing how the car was going to react with all the changes with the new lower control arms and new suspension and power and everything. It was kind of like driving a new car. So just kind of took it easy and tested things out, and started in the middle with suspension settings, and then just kind of went from there for how it felt, and got faster and faster and more confident, and just kept looking at my old logs from last year and seeing how much more speed I had then. You know, that helped me go a lot faster and push harder and realize what the car could do again, since I haven't driven it so long. So,
well, yesterday you told me you felt like the car was tracking a little bit weird under braking. What did you figure out?
We figured out that the camber bolts on the struts, there were two of those, one on each side, and they were both not tight enough. Like, they weren't loose or anything, like the nut was coming off, but they were sliding back and forth.
Oh, man.
Which was causing weird issues, like under braking and even turning, the car was acting kind of weird.
That
After
sucks.
The second session, we figured that out and tightened it down. Checked toe, it was okay-ish, and went back out and ran, I think, a 1 minute 30 then, I think it was, and the car felt a lot better then.
So that was already faster than you had went last year.
Yeah.
What did the new power feel like?
It feels awesome, to say the least. On low boost, it's kind of it ramps up, so it's kind of laggy in the middle. But on high boost, the thing it pulls out of corners like crazy.
Now, I assume that at that power level, you're gonna have to keep your drivetrain and stuff, at top of mind. Do you expect anything to break soon with this power?
Everything's pretty much built for it right now. I've heard of people breaking like a third gear. I know Jordan Cook broke one, and he was at about the same power level, same motor I have, same turbo and everything. So someday that might go, but as far as everything else, the T-case is built. It's got a ATS diff in it.
Okay.
And everything else should be okay around it, yeah.
Now, you have 200 points, which is basically two wins in the two events you've attended. What other events do you have planned between you and Ronnie, who are collectively RS Motorsports team for this year?
We don't have a plan, really. We just kind of threw this together kind of last minute. And I'm not even sure I was going to look at the point structure and everything on the way home tonight.
Well, let me explain it to you.
Yeah, so, you explain it to me so I can understand it.
So in class, the winner always gets 100 points.
Okay.
The drivers that finish behind them get a number of points consistent with how far behind them they were. So 1/10 of a second behind gets 99, 2/10 gets 98, so on and so forth. So today, Alex Moss finished behind you 0.078 seconds, which is rounded to 0.1. So he gets 99 from this weekend and you get 100.
Okay.
So he's done three events, but he has 299 and you have 200. So,
is it a total of four events you need?
It'll be four. Yeah. And so last year we had done the brackets at Road America. This year we're not doing that, at least not officially as part of the competition. So it will just be the best four events of the season.
Okay.
And I actually just got off the phone with him. He and I both agree that we expect that the winner in Street Mod, because the competition is so close, will likely have four wins and 400 points.
Yeah, it's going to take that, I think.
especially since rounds one and two that you didn't attend, both first and second got 100, because the margin of victory was less than 0.05. Right.
Okay.
So it was rounded down to a gap of zero.
Yep.
So it's super, super close. And I didn't expect the three of you actually to be as close as you were, but it's been kind of incredible to see how much Street Mod as a class has progressed in the last year.
Yeah. Yep. I was kind of curious coming into the weekend, like, how am I going to stack up? These guys are flying at Gingerman, you know, and I haven't been there in a year or so. And just to see what I would even run if I could, you know. And the first day it seemed like I had nothing for him. I just kind of kept my head down and kept working and looking at data and making changes, and we were there in the end finally.
So are you the kind of person that will come off track and open up the laptop and start reviewing data right away? Or is that, because I know some people do that, but not very many.
I started doing that. Yep. So this weekend, every time I came off track, I went and looked at data and like, where can I go faster? Where can I go faster?
Are you sharing data with like other drivers? I know that Luke is a big proponent of the AIM software. Do you have that as reference, or are you just looking at your own stuff?
This weekend was just looking at my own stuff. Me and Moss looked at stuff just computer to computer, cause he has a different software that
right.
doesn't work with AIM. But, and then I compared with, Puglisi.
Okay.
He was a little bit slower this weekend.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised by that. I know that he's, you know, continuing to put the car together, but he's usually really strong at Autobahn. So something must have not been quite right.
Yeah. We looked at our logs and I was blowing him away in fourth gear, and it turned out it was like some tuning issue he had.
Really?
It just wasn't making the power in fourth gear. We'd shift to fourth at about the same time, and I would just walk away from him.
That's wild.
So it was kind of crazy.
So I've not yet seen the car in person since it's been built, but what do you think of Ferris's setup?
Ferris's car is wild, to say the least. he's built a monster.
It's way faster than I expected it to be. And it's been really, really capable on these short tracks. But his gearing is so short that I would expect if he goes to a place like Road America or Road Atlanta, that he's going to run out of gear.
Yeah. I don't know if he can change his rear end or something like that to make it a little bit longer, but yeah, he's going to have.
It's also kind of scary.
Or so.
It's also kind of scary that like at Road America, I would not be surprised to see that car coming close to kissing 200 if it wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be up in the 190s, I'm sure.
Because if you compare it to some of like the unlimited cars like Will's and James, those cars make a lot more downforce and a lot more drag. So I think last year when Will was at Road America, I think he was only in the 170s, but that wasn't a surprise just because the car makes so much downforce.
Yeah. I remember him and Dewey comparing top speed at the end of one, and they weren't too far off. I mean, 5-10 miles an hour only.
Well, I guess given your proximity to the track, I wouldn't be surprised to see you at Pikes Peak, but you're probably still one event shy from a season championship contention. So have you ever driven at Mid-Ohio?
I was there 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago, and it rained the entire time.
I remember that.
And I hated it, and I want to go back because the track looks like a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah. Mid-Ohio is known for being super rewarding in the rain, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And obviously you'll probably be at Pikes Peak. How far is Road America from you?
Road America is only about 7 hours from me.
Yeah. You live too far away. Have you considered moving to someplace that's not as far?
Not anytime soon, I guess.
So I don't remember exactly how your car did at Road America, but I assume it was quick because it makes a lot of power, but did you find that you were kind of hitting a wall on top speed last year?
At Road America? Road America last year for me was kind of, I wasn't pushing as hard as I needed to, because at the time I was leading in points and I only needed to be third, second or something like that.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And it's kind of an intimidating track. So I kind of held back a little bit. I think I was like a 124 or 224.
Oh yeah.
225.
And
something like that.
What do we finish with? A 222, I think.
Yep.
It was a really fast
lap.
Yeah,
he was flying. Yep.
I think with him sitting out this weekend, had he been competing as well, it probably would have been a legitimate four-way competition for the overall win. And
yep.
I was saying to Moss, someone that I don't know yet, but is kind of new, his name is Ryan Matthews. He's not off the pace by much. And I think he'll start contending with you guys here soon.
Mm-hmm. Was he there this weekend?
Yeah, he ran like a 130 flat or something. The red C5Z06. Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty quick.
That's cruising.
But... Well, I'll probably let you off the phone, but I wanted to say congratulations. Street Mod is insane, and you're kind of at the top of the spear. So keep doing what you're doing, and I hope that we see you again soon.
Yep, definitely. We'll be out on track.
All right. Drive safe, man.
Yep. Thanks, Abe.
Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabay, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes and come and find us in the pits at a grid live to say hello.